and they're talking about generosity, which I think around Christmas time, it's definitely a conversation I'm having with my life group of boys. It's a conversation I'm having at home with my wife, you know, in the time where we're thinking about what gifts we're getting and what gifts we're giving, spending time to think about how to be generous and have a generous heart. And Christmas is more than presents, obviously. I think we all know that as adults, but helping students learn that. We learned that when we were kids. So helping students learn that as well. And I think this podcast is going to be great with Reggie Joyner and some of the staff over at Orange. You know, if you like a lot of the Orange stuff, or you know, the maybe you don't know what Orange is, but it's a you know family ministry organization, company out of Atlanta, Georgia, that produces some great stuff that we use here in family ministry at Mariners. We host a conference with them every year here at Irvine, and there's just a lot of great content there. So we're actually doing a parent night in January. This is the first time we're really talking about it. It'll be in the email this week. So check it out. It's in January. We're talking through the phases. So we had a parent night like that, you know, a few months ago, and we're going to do another one. Again, our good friend Jared Kirkwood, who used to be the high school pastor at Mariners, is coming to teach it, which is going to be great. I'm going to be there. I'm excited for it. Enjoy the podcast. And have some great discussions this week as we head toward Christmas. We'll see you this weekend. And don't forget, all the Christmas services are online as well. So enjoy yourselves.
Welcome to Parent Q. I'm Reggie Joyner, a parent of 20-something-year-old children. So I just wanted to mention to you guys today that one of the first movies our family ever saw together was Lion King.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm Kristen Ivey. I'm actually the parent of 2 preschool children, and the first movie I took my kids to in the theater was Frozen.
Well, I'm John Williams. I have a preschool son and an elementary age daughter, and I don't really even remember what my daughter's first movie was, but I remember her face.
That's probably because, John, we can imagine you probably took Dora to see Shakespeare.
That's probably, it was a confused look for most of the entire performance.
Did she sit in her chair for that whole?
No, I remember vividly. That's probably why I can't remember what we saw, because I had to make sure she kept getting put back in her chair.
I guarantee you she was quoting Shakespeare by 4.
I bet she was.
Okay, so we started by talking about the movies. So let me ask you guys this question. What is it that clues you into the fact that a character in the movies is a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, actually, I think before today, I usually took my cue from the music. I mean, don't you think that the soundtrack itself has a way of making bad guys seem scarier than they really are?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, that's why I want my own music when I walk into a room, just to clarify that I'm a good guy.
We need John to have a soundtrack. That's all we need.
But I love the acting part, because, you know, as an actor, there's a lot of things you can do with body language, facial expressions, and, you know, the way their voice sounds to signal that you're the bad guy.
Yeah, I think those are both true, but I think there's actually something else that's true too, and it's a little bit more subtle. I think you can usually know a good guy because of a characteristic that he demonstrates, and actually you can know the bad guy because he doesn't have this one characteristic.
So there's one characteristic that we want to talk about and think about today.
Yeah, it's the one thing that not only helps you separate the good guys from the bad guys, but it's also an indicator that someone has changed or that a positive transformation has taken place.
It's actually the one characteristic that gives you insight into somebody's character.
Okay, let's stop right here for just a minute and talk about a boy named Seth. I actually think he gives us a great example of how this works.
Yes, he was in the 5th grade when this happened, right?
Yeah, Seth. I think his leader said that he was kind of a problematic kid. I mean, he didn't get along with the other kids. He was a little bit disrespectful.
Actually, from what I remembered as well, the leaders were thinking about telling his parents they didn't know Seth could even come back. Mm. I mean, he just seemed to hate being there, and his attitude, I don't think his attitude was a distraction for the rest of the group.
Yeah, but that's exactly what happened. And he just seemed to change right in front of everybody. It was almost overnight. He became a different kid.
So Seth was a 5th grader, right? He was a little overactive, problematic with the other kids, but he became extremely engaged one day when his leaders explained that they were going to start raising money to help another kid in another country.
Mm. You know, it's amazing how just one of those typical adopt-a-kid pictures that organizations hand out to put a face on someone you're actually helping can make such a difference. Because when Seth saw the picture, it had a noticeable and dramatic effect on how he behaved.
Right. He decided that he could shovel snow to help raise money to support this kid.
Yeah, and this is what blows my mind. his respect for other kids improved, his response to his leaders improved, and his interest in what was being taught improved. It was like that.
So one idea that we're going to talk about today, and just this one simple activity, literally transformed a boy named Seth.
Actually, we should actually know this, because it shows up in almost every great story and every great plot. Someone shifts from being selfish to caring about someone else. They decide to give. They sacrifice something. See, now we're back to the movies and how we tell the villain from the good guy and how to know when there's been a transformation.
Yeah, I mean, think about Scrooge at the end of the Christmas Carol. He's throwing open the shutters in his bathrobe, yelling down to a boy in the street, throwing down money, saying, go buy the biggest turkey in the window so that he can give it to Bob Cratchit, right? And he gives anonymously, and he tells the boy to keep the change.
Mm-hmm. I think that, first of all, that was a spot-on impersonation of Scrooge, I think, from the
I would
film.
Like to hear Kristen Scrooge impersonation.
Yeah, come on,
actually.
Come on, Kristen, really lay it on us right now.
I just want to hear sounded.
Merry Christmas Bob Cratchit do it.
Yeah, just that part. Just Scrooge, his voice.
Merry Christmas, Bob Cratchit.
Boy, that was a 100% transformation. Wow. That was amazing. All right. okay, so keeping with the movie genre, I'm talking about The Grinch. It happened with The Grinch when his heart grew three sizes bigger, or as Borloff would say, his heart grew three times bigger. See, I can do impersonations too.
Wow, you guys are incredible.
I don't know why we're here recording podcasts.
I know we should be out making millions doing Disney films or something.
But this really is fun to think about this and to talk about how it happens in our own kids, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, you see this the first time that your toddler stops saying, it's mine, and they decide to give it away to some other kid. They decide to share on their own.
And I still struggle with that. I still say, it's mine all the time. But you know what? But I see it in my daughter. I mean, my daughter had this crazy idea one Christmas. She wanted to go and give some stuff away to people who were working on Christmas Eve. Because she asked, do people work on Christmas Eve? And I was like, yeah, some people have to. And we were driving down the highway in Atlanta one day, and she saw toll booth operators. And she asked, do these people have to work by themselves on Christmas Eve? And I said, yeah. So we scrounged together some money, and on Christmas Eve, 9 p.m., we hop in the car and we start driving up and down the highway to hit every toll booth, give a gift to the toll booth operator. Wow. But seeing her face when she would give it to the operator, I think she got more out of it than the gift we gave to the toll booth
operator. And you probably got more out of it.
It was amazing. I mean, it was amazing.
At the end of the day, I mean, my kids do a lot of things that move me, but when I see them have this transformation moment, when I see Hannah, you know, do art for a charity, or I see something happen where one of my children kind of sacrifice something personally to give to someone else, as a parent, it does something to me because I feel like they're getting it. They're starting to get it.
Yeah, I mean, we all want our kids to grow up and be generous adults because we know that when they have generosity, it'll just have effects for the rest of their life.
Yeah, it'll keep them from being a jerk. Let's just put it in layman's terms, shall we? Yeah.
And it also connects them to what we would say is a bigger story, a story that's even bigger than just themselves.
Mm-hmm. So I guess one of the points we want to make here is that when you give generously, it not only changes someone else's life, but it really can change you.
That's cool to think about. Actually, let me ask a question about that because it just sounds a little strange. Are you saying that being generous can really change you?
I think that most of us would say that God usually changes us, or that he's ultimately responsible for changing us. But don't you think when you really look at it that God can use what we do or God can use what someone else does in our lives to change us as well? I mean, there's something about generosity that kind of sparks a little bit of God's image in us and begins us down this path to know him.
Think about what happened to Seth, right? I mean, when he did something that was God-like, it sparked his relationship with God. It changed his relationship with others. I mean, that doesn't mean that what he did changed him, but what he did was really a catalyst for a change in his life.
Okay, this is an interesting thought. So maybe practicing generosity has the potential to help you and your kids grow in your relationship with God. Hmm. And just to clarify, I'm not saying that God loves you more when you're generous, but I'm suggesting that becoming generous may help you understand how to love God better.
Yeah, and I don't want us to fly through this thought too fast, because I think that it would be great to just pause for a second and think about the weight of that. There is a relationship between generosity and God, and there is a way in which it affects us with him. And I think sometimes we just think it's all about faith that leads us to generosity, but in some cases, generosity can lead us to faith.
I think there has to be a link. I mean, Jesus says it to the rich guy in the New Testament, if you want to follow me, then give away what you have and follow me. the story says he walked away sad because he had a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there really does have to be a link, right? I mean, I think it's at least possible that stuff can become too important to someone, maybe, or that stuff has a way of building a wall between us and our relationship with God. And I think when we give our stuff away, it really does tear down that wall. It helps us have better relationships.
Now, we don't want you to think, if you're listening to this, that we're like televangelists and we're getting ready to set you up for the big moment we're going to ask you to give to some program. Because at the end of the day, what we really want you to understand and push at, if this makes sense, is that sometimes generosity and giving will help you grow in your faith. And sometimes faith will compel you or help you grow in becoming a generous person.
Right. I mean, in the story of the rich young ruler, like John was talking about, it was like he needed to give something away in order to understand more about God.
But it's the complete opposite with Zacchaeus. He was totally the other way around. He was a rich guy who was cheating people. And after he met Jesus, he started giving back what he had taken.
Like the Grinch.
Yes.
And like the Scrooge.
I think Zacchaeus is a inspiration for major characters throughout history.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, I think he
Zacchaeus
I think he
inspired
is.
The Grinch and Scrooge.
But they were all taller.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
So in one story, giving was a potential catalyst for faith. And in the other story, faith led to giving.
So here's the thing about generosity and why we think it's such a huge idea. Maybe one of the most important things you can literally hand off to your kids. It does affect their relationship with God. Don't miss that point here. And it also affects their relationship with others. But here's another, thing I want to throw into the conversation or discussion. I think it also has a profound effect just on their future in general.
Right. I mean, we like to use the phrase, imagine the end, which is just a way of thinking, hey, imagine what you want your kid to grow up and be like at the end, and then mentally rewind and parent in a different way now so that you can get to that goal.
Yeah, and this is a really powerful concept to use to think about that. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you live in America or Spain, every one of us want the same thing for our kids. We all want them to have the best possible future they can have. Now, for some of us, that looks different depending on our experience or our bent, but it does relate to their future. And so we have to think in terms of that.
I love to imagine the future. I want the flying car that fits in a briefcase. I want the robot maid and all that stuff. But honestly, when it comes to the future, most of us, if we're honest, we want our kids to be rich.
You got that right.
It's just easy to go straight to the money issue because that seems to be how we really, measure success here. But what if they are rich financially and they're poor relationally?
Oh, that's not possible. You can't be rich financially and poor relationally.
Oh, well, yeah, you've got a point there. You know what? Forget it. Turn off the
money
podcast
right now.
Solve
the problem. Yeah. All we need is the right amount of money to fix anything.
Well, I do think you have to be a little bit more intentional about character and things like generosity. Because let's be honest, I mean, we do spend a lot of time as parents thinking about issues that feel more critical than this idea. We spend a lot of energy helping our kids get a great education so they can get a good job, so they can make a lot of money, take care of us when we get old.
Amen.
But we applaud their effort and their success in school and their success in sports. But how much time do we really spend helping our kids become generous people?
So you really do think it matters? I mean, do you really think at the end of the day, kids who learn to be generous will have, let's say, richer lives?
I mean, I think I know people who have a lot of stuff, but they still kind of live a sad life.
So that's why we like to say it's counterintuitive. We feel the pressure on the one hand, see if this makes sense, to give our kids whatever they want because we want them to be happy. But the strange reality is giving them too much stuff can actually program them to be empty.
I like to think about it this way because I'm starting to get into exercise. And just by looking at me, if you could see me right now, I have muscles upon muscles.
Yeah, I was thinking
muscles.
That same thing watching eat the pimento cheese while ago.
Yeah, the pimento cheese was, that's a diet, you know what, we'll skip right over that. It's almost like when you're created, God gave you a giving muscle that needs to be exercised. And if you don't, you'll lose your potential to enjoy life. If you want them to love life, then teach them to give.
And yeah, that's why I think building a culture of generosity is just so critical in your home.
There's one of my favorite verses. It talks directly about this. It's the perfect kind of summation of this idea.
Right. It's something that Paul said to a young leader named Timothy, right? He said, be rich in good deeds, be generous and willing to share. In this way, lay up treasures as a firm foundation for the future and take hold of the life that is truly life.
And there's so much packed into that verse. I mean, there's the word future, there's the word generous, And the phrase that I really love is the way it kind of caps when it says, by doing that, you're taking hold of the life that is truly life. It's like it's suggesting, if you really want to have a full life, if you really want to have a meaningful life, if you really want your children to have a satisfied life, to have a healthy life, then you need to make generosity a priority.
Right. It's like God said that this was a really big idea, that this was going to impact your future, that this will affect the quality of life.
And believe it or not, there's actually real research to back that point.
There's research to back up what God said.
Yes, okay, totally.
That's
totally
good. I like that.
There's studies that have
sometimes
been done.
God needs help, you know, to make sure that what he said is true.
Totally. But sometimes it helps us, right?
It does.
Helps
us just a little bit. I'm just saying. Yeah.
But, you know, there have been studies to help us understand the effect of generosity on our mental and our physical health. In University of Michigan, they did a study that revealed that the positive effects of generosity can improve longevity. So
well, that's
a longer
worth
life.
Knowing.
Yeah, totally, totally.
So God and science agree on this one, that generosity or practicing generosity actually does have physical and emotional benefits that help you live healthier. Who would figure?
Right. So that's we amazing. Should all agree by now. Can we all just agree that generosity should be a priority? But I mean, if I ask you guys then to give me an idea, how can parents raise generous kids? I mean, how do you make generosity a part of your everyday life? Hmm. What would you say?
I guess one of the first things that come to my mind with 20-something-year-old kids is when I look back at their teenage years, I think it was important to make volunteering easy for them. When I made it easy for them to volunteer in the church or volunteer in the community, I don't know, there's something that happened, I think, inside them. And it also made a statement that generosity is so much bigger than just the idea of giving money. It was giving a part of themselves away.
Mm. Yeah, as a mom of preschoolers who don't have a lot of money, especially their own money, I love that idea that we can really give our time and that we can serve together.
And not only does serving together with your kids help you in volunteering create a bond and model generosity, but I also think you've got to think in terms of letting them volunteer on their own as they move toward a certain stage of life. Because it definitely is important for them to use their own skills and their own abilities to connect and to experience that firsthand. I think it's important for them to not only own their own faith, but to own the practice of their faith.
I love this idea because it's not sort of a one-size-fits-all thing. Explain that a little bit more.
Well, I mean, when I think about my kids, you know, I have four different kids. They're very, very different. One is an artist and very creative. The other one's kind of a photographer and very relational. Mm-hmm. Then I've got one that's kind of organized in the business world. And I've got a son who's kind of engineer wired and he thinks in terms of a lot of computers. And when I look at what they do and how they invest in other people, when I have the daughter, for example, that contributes art to a charity, or another daughter who takes pictures for a family who might can't afford in their budget to get pictures of their kids, or I see my son get around some teenagers or some people to help them set up their computers, or when I see my other daughter organize for a charity. I mean, in my mind, that's them becoming who they are and making their unique contribution to a society. But it's theirs. It's not somebody else's, and it's something that they can give. Mm-hmm. In that way, they actually own it themselves. Now, Kristen, in the preschool world, how does this show up in your home?
I mean, it shows up, I think, in a lot of ways, but in one of the ways, it's kind of the same thing that happened for Seth. I mean, even with young kids, you can sponsor a child as a family. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, wonder if your kids know they're responsible to save money, to help someone else who has less. I think it does breed a different kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm. And it's practical. By simply making a monthly investment. But here's the thing. How do your kids at that age, how do they really stay connected to what they're doing with something like that, so they understand that they're actually somehow involved in this other kid's life?
Actually, when they're young, I think they're so visual and they love stories. So we keep a picture of a kid that we're sponsoring, for example, on the fridge where it's visible. And that just is a reminder of us to write letters, to talk about this together, to pray for the child together, to read stories about what's happening in the community and the country where they live. It just makes things a lot more practical and tangible for them because they can realize they're a part of a bigger story and a part of helping others.
So, John, what would your one idea be?
Well, first of all, I love both of y'all's ideas. Because I think the cool thing about it is it helps make sure that you're deliberate about giving, that you can actually set this as a pattern in your life.
Okay? Sounds like a setup, but keep going.
But, okay. Right, but got it. I totally love practicing impulsively giving stuff away.
Why does that not surprise me?
I just think it's fun. I think it's fun when you find yourself in a moment or in any situation where you find somebody who's got a need that you can meet right away to be able to have the ability and the strength and the the wherewithal to just stop and go ahead and meet that need, whether it's money, whether it's giving somebody a lift. I mean, that is something
you're going to give a stranger a lift. You can teach your kids to give a stranger a lift.
Well, there are some guidelines. There are some rules that you do eventually have to be in place because kids' hearts are so big. They're going to want to give away the house. They don't understand that when you do that, you now need someone to give you a house. You know, they don't have the cause and effect totally down yet, but still you can set some guidelines. But I just think letting a kid have an opportunity to just give on the spot is super empowering.
John, I love the idea of giving impulsively. That's very you. And I think we should just, let's try to focus here and come up with a couple statements so that we can remember the importance of generosity and what it means to really raise generous kids.
Cool.
Generosity keeps an unhealthy ego at check, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it shifts our focus away from ourselves. It reminds us that the world doesn't really revolve around me.
And I think generosity will help fight feelings of self-hatred or inadequacy. It's one of the best ways you can combat feelings of depression, in my opinion.
That's interesting.
Yeah, when you do something for someone else, it gives them value, but it has this really strange effect on how you see yourself. I remember seeing, again, back to my daughter, giving that gift away. I know the person receiving the gift was excited, but her face, just the look on her face, she was brought to life.
That's
in
great.
That moment.
And I want us to kind of remember that generosity helps you grow in your faith. It specifically helps you understand more about who God is. And I've always believed personally that it's God's nature to give. I think that's reflected in what many of us believe as Christians. I mean, the greatest demonstration we could have of generosity has to be God giving his son for us. And when we think about the image of God in all of us, that image is reflected when we give. And when we think about the Spirit of God that lives in us because of Christ, he compels us to give because that is his nature. And because God knows, and this is the thing that I just kind of want us to keep in the back of our mind, or I want to think about as a parent, that God really knows that one of the secrets to understanding how to really live is for us to give.
So, in a nutshell,
yep,
be generous and take hold of a life that is truly life. I love that. I love that.
And thanks for joining us today on Parent Q Live.
Mm-hmm. If you want more ideas about how to be a better parent, you can join us at parentq.org.
Gosh, that was great. And they have great content there at parentq.org. That we'll put a link in the notes for this podcast. Definitely check it out, man. I believe every parent wants to be a better parent. I think the guys at Orange are really helping make that happen. We talk to our students every week. We always talk about inviting students and inviting people, inviting their friends to come check out church. You know, statistics say that people are willing to say yes to an invitation really any time when it comes from a friend. But the chances they'll say yes to going to church, say yes to the church invitation during the Christmas and the Easter season go up exponentially. People in your neighborhoods, your students' friends, leaders, your coworkers, people you go to college with, they're just waiting for an invitation from you. Someone who will say, hey, come and check out Christmas Eve service. I'm going to save a seat for you. You can sit next to me. I'm going to, and then tell them the service you're going to. So encourage your students to do that. We want them to learn to be not just great disciples of Jesus, the spiritual disciplines that Jesus taught, but we want students to learn that the evangelistic side of Jesus, the going and making disciples of all nations style and philosophy of Jesus. So this is one way of helping do that. Enjoy your weeks, and we'll see you this weekend. Once again, Tardycast, never be late to leadership. Have a great week.